precious Father, instill in us a sense of your purpose. Make us servants of your will. Grant us the desire to carry the message of recovery that you have given us. Amen. I'm now calling you Mary Lou. Hi, friends. The handout I gave you tonight is something I found on the internet that I thought was really good. It's a summary of the 12 steps taken from the AA Big Book and the book The 12 and 12. And I just found it really, really beneficial. I do want to thank the group for allowing me this opportunity to share with you these past 8 weeks. You know, I thought I was coming here to impart with you with all my wisdom and all my knowledge. That's a joke, laugh, please. Really what I thought was, why do they want me? You know, I could understand Bev Parshall, I could understand having Buzz Green come, but what in the world do I have to offer? You know, I prayed about it, I talked to my sponsor about it, and I finally felt that God was leading me to do this. Now, as in most service work, I have gained much, much more doing this than what I have given. You know, I've gained a deeper understanding of the 12 steps and how to put them into practical use in my life on a daily basis. I gained a deeper understanding of living the 12 steps, not working the 12 steps. And I've gained insight into myself, especially those areas of my life that I still need to work on. I've strengthened my conscious contact with the God of my understanding. And my desire to serve others and God has strengthened and grown. So thank you very much for this opportunity. Something I meant to share with you last week and I forgot when we were going over steps 10 and 11. On my phone, I have an app that's a 10-step daily inventory. So you can find that. Yep, it's right on my phone. And it starts out, it shows you a picture of Bill Wilson, and then you go into your 10-step inventory. So today we're looking at step 12. Having had a spiritual awakening as a result of these steps, we carry this message to alcoholics and practice these principles in all our affairs. You know, AA started with what we call 12-step calls. You know, I don't hear much about 12-step calls today. When I first came in, oh, by the way, my sobriety day is January 17, 1983, so I have a little over 35 years. And when I came in 35 years ago, you heard a lot about 12-step calls. My sponsor and I went on many 12-step calls. I took the women that I sponsor on many 12-step calls. Excuse me. And what a 12-step call is, you go and you share this program of recovery with a new prospect, with somebody who's asking for help. And it usually starts with the answering service, and you may not be aware of it, but AA has an answering service here in Erie, and it's manned 24 hours a day by members of Erie Area Alcoholics Anonymous. And a call would come into the answering service, and if they deemed it appropriate, they would call somebody on the 12-step list. And there was a 12-step list. And that person would get somebody, usually somebody they sponsor, because, you know, you got to teach the people we sponsor. And you would go and you would meet with the person asking for help. And as I said, I don't hear much about that anymore. In fact, it's been years since I've been asked to go on a 12-step call. And what we would offer would depend on their state of intoxication and their physical condition. And we might suggest that they need to go to detox because withdrawal from alcohol is one of the substances that you can die from. and it's a very dangerous thing. We would always take a jar of Cairo syrup and a bottle of orange juice with us. And the purpose of that was the newcomer was usually very, very shaky because they were withdrawing. And the Cairo syrup, the sugar in the Cairo syrup and orange juice would calm the shakes down. You know, we might take them to a meeting, again, depending on the state of intoxication. And it, you know, usually they were slightly, if not totally, intoxicated. And it says that you never went on a 12-step call by yourself because you did not know what you were going to face. I did have a gun pull on me once on a 12-step call. I didn't get hurt, but it was pulled. Now, we would explain that this we're talking a disease, and we would present the disease concept and the fact that we have an allergy of the body and an obsession of the mind. We would leave literature. And we would definitely make arrangements to call the person the next day and hopefully get them to a meeting. And as I said, I don't hear much about this anymore. You know, I think that we in AA have turned over a lot of our 12-step work with newcomers to rehabs and detoxes. And I find that sad. I find that real sad. I did a lot of growing in those 12-step calls that I went on. It always took me back to where I came from and where I never, ever wanted to go back to. Okay, so now let's take a look at how AA started. The story, you find it in detail in a book called AA Comes of Age, pages 58 to 70. And it basically started with what we call a 12-step call today. An old school friend and drinking buddy, Bill Wilson's, had gotten sober. And he called on Bill one day. Bill was slightly intoxicated at the time. But Bill asked, the guy's name was Ebby, and Bill asked Ebby how he got sober. And Ebby said he got religion. And Bill cringed, because Bill didn't really want anything to do with religion. So in the AA Comes of Age, page 58 and 59, Bill's talking, this is his right. Bill wrote this book, by the way. And he's talking about Ebby was there. And he said, Ebby, when he asked Ebby how he got sober and what type of religion he had. And Ebby said, I just fell in with a group of people, the Oxford group. I don't go along with all their teachings by any means, but those folks have given me some wonderful ideas. I learned that I had to admit I was licked. I learned I ought to take stock of myself and confess my defects to another person in confidence. I learned that I needed to make restitution for the harm I had done others. And I was told I ought to practice this kind of giving that has no price tag, the giving of yourself to somebody. Now, he added, I know you're going to gag at this, but they taught me that I should pray to whatever God I thought there was for power to carry out these simple precepts. And that was where AA started. Sounds real familiar, doesn't it? Now, our 12 steps, you know, were basically taken from the Oxford group. Well, it really came from the book of James and the Bible and the Sermon on the Mount, but they were practiced by the Oxford group, which is where the first members of AA got their start. Okay, the seed was planted in Bill. One alcoholic reaching out to another. Bill continued to drink, and he eventually attended a meeting of the Oxford group. And even though he was drunk, he liked what he saw. You know, and he began to have hope that maybe he might be able to get help for his drinking problem. You know, he continued to drink for another 3 days after he attended that meeting. On the third day, he decided to go to the town hospital where he'd sobered up many times and meet with Dr. Silkworth, who always helped him sober up. On the way to the hospital, he stopped at a local store and charged 4 beers, because he didn't have money for both beers and the bus fare to get to the hospital. And he explained to the storekeeper that he was on his way to the hospital to get the cure, and he needed these 4 beers to get him there. And so the storekeeper gave him 4 beers, and he drank 3 of them on the way to the hospital. And when he got to the hospital, he offered the 4th one to Dr. Silkworth. Dr. Silkworth turned it down. Okay, after a few days, Ebby made another 12-step call. Ebby went to see Bill at the hospital. And this, again, is Bill talking, or Bill writing. I was not in too awful condition. In 3 or 4 days, I was free of what little sedatives they gave me, but I was very depressed. I was still choking on that God stuff. Bright and early one morning, friend Ebby showed up and stood in the doorway, smiling broadly. I didn't see what was so funny. Then I had a suspicion. Maybe this was the day he was going to evangelize me. Maybe he was going to pour on the sweetness and the light. But no, he made me wait until I asked him. Well, said I, what is your neat little formula once more? In perfect good humor, he handed it out again. You admit you are licked. You get honest with yourself. You talk it out with somebody else. You make restitution to people you have harmed. You try to give yourself, you try to give of yourself with no demands for reward, and you pray to whatever God you think is there, even as an experiment. It was simple and yet as mysterious as that. After some small talk, Ebby left. So again, Ebby carried the message. One alcoholic reaching out to another alcoholic. Most of us know the story of how Bill, he did get sober in New York, and he had gone to Akron, Ohio for a job interview, and he was at the Mayflower Hotel in Akron, and he got an overwhelming desire to drink. He just wanted to drink so bad. And he knew the only way that so far that he'd been able to stay sober but was by reaching out to another alcoholic. And so he got on the phone and he started calling churches and asked them if ministers, if they had somebody in their congregation that he could talk to who was an alcoholic who had a drinking problem. And finally a minister told him about Dr. Bob Smith. And the next day he met with Dr. Bob Smith. And that was where AA started. Ebby carried the message of recovery to Bill Wilson. Bill Wilson carried it to Dr. Bob Smith. Bill Wilson and Dr. Bob Smith developed the program of Alcoholics Anonymous. I really believe it was a God-given program. Again, one alcoholic reaching out to another. That's what AA is about. My home group is the responsibility group. And we read the responsibility statement at each meeting. And the responsibility statement says, when anyone anywhere reaches out for help, I want the hand of AA always to be there. And for that, I am responsible. I am responsible. One time, one of the women I sponsored was fairly new in the program. And she was asked to read that. And after she read it, she sat down and she said, should I change that I to we? And I said, no, it's I am responsible. And she said, no, I can't be. That's too much. Okay. No, I am responsible. Now, I look at the 12th step as having 3 parts. A is spiritual awakening. B, carry the message. C, practice these principles in all my affairs. I will be real honest with you. Probably the part I had the most problem with is he practices principles in all my affairs. Okay. But let's look at what a spiritual awakening is. Have you had one? Now, there are many, many different forms of spiritual awakenings. Few of us have the sudden, overwhelming experience that Bill Wilson had. Again, from AA Comes of Age. And this was right after Abby had left the hospital, visiting with Bill, carrying the message. Bill said, "My depression deepened unbearably. And finally, it seemed to me as though I was at a very bottom of the pit. I still gagged badly on the notion of a power greater than myself. But finally, just for a moment, the last vestige of proud obstinate was crushed. All at once, I found myself crying out, 'If there is a God, let him show himself. I am ready to do anything. I am ready to do anything.' Suddenly, the room lit up with a great light. I was caught up into an ecstasy which there were no words to describe. It seemed to me, in the mind's eye, I was on a mountain, and that a wind, not air, but a spirit was blowing. And then it burst upon me that I was a free man. Slowly the ecstasy subsided. I lay on the bed, but now for a time I was in another world, a new world of consciousness. All about me and through me, there was a wonderful feeling of presence, and I thought to myself, 'So this is the God of the preachers.' A great peace stole over me, and I thought, 'No matter how wrong things seem to be, they are still right. Things are all right with God and his world.' Then little by little, I began to be frightened. My modern education called back and said to me, 'You are hallucinating. You had better get a doctor.' Dr. Selfworth asked me a lot of questions, and after a while, he said, 'No, Bill, you are not crazy. There has been some basic psychological or spiritual event here. I've read about these things in books. Sometimes spiritual experiences do release people from alcoholism.' Immensely relieved, I fell again to wondering what actually had happened." And I said, very few of us had that type of experience. But we all can experience a spiritual awakening if we are willing to do the work in the 12 steps. And the way, for me, it was a gradual transformation. And I received this transformation through living what I'd learned in the previous 11 steps. It began with a spark of awareness in step one when we first admitted our powerlessness. In step two, we began to develop humility when we envisioned the possibility there is a power greater than ourselves, and we began to have hope that we could be restored to sanity. In step three, we gained a deeper surrender and began to see that our higher power had everything we needed to heal spiritually, which gave us the courage we needed to approach step four. Step four and five helped us to gain integrity, to gain self-acceptance, and to gain trust in another person. We continued to develop more and more humility as we became aware of our shortcomings in step six. In step seven, we furthered the awakening of our spirit as we asked God to help us overcome our character defects. Our trust and faith in God, in the God of our understanding, has grown. Our spiritual growth continues in step eight when we became willing to look at the harm done to others. We were spiritually prepared to face the pain and remorse of looking at the harm we did others. We were moving away from self-obsession and developing empathy for others. In step 9, we began to appreciate the feeling of others. Our self-esteem grew as we forgave ourselves and others. The self-discipline of practicing steps 10 and 11 ensured our spiritual awakening will continue. Now, for me, it was a gradual transformation. The hole in my soul was finally filled. I came into AA with this huge, huge hole in my soul that nothing filled anymore. And as I worked the steps of Alcoholics Anonymous, as I slowly incorporated them into my daily life, that hole in my soul was starting to be filled. And it was filled with gratitude, unconditional love. And it was filled with self-respect and integrity and a desire to serve God and others. Undeniably, I had a spiritual experience, and I have experienced a spiritual awakening. And my spiritual awakening will continue. It will not stop. It will continue as long as I continue to do what has been suggested to me. I have been transformed. I have hope, serenity, and peace. I'm okay in my skin. I don't know what's going on in my throat tonight. I'm okay in my skin. I'm a part of the universe. I'm no longer alone. I'm an emotional feeling human being, and I'm okay no matter what's going on in my world. That has been my experience with my spiritual awakening. In the 12 and 12 on pages 106 and 107. When a man or woman has a spiritual awakening, the most important meaning of it is that he now becomes able to do, feel, and believe that which he could not before on his unaided strength and resources alone. He has been granted a gift which amounts to a new state of consciousness and being. He has been set on a path which tells him he is really going somewhere, that life is not a dead end, not something to be endured or mastered. In a very real sense, he has been transformed because he has laid hold of a source of strength which, in one way or another, he had hitherto denied himself. He finds himself in possession of a degree of honesty, tolerance, unselfishness, peace of mind, and love of which he thought himself incapable. What he has received is a free gift, and yet usually, at least in some part, he has made himself ready to receive it. The gift of sobriety. You know, it's so much more than just not picking up that drink. December the 5th in the Daily Reflections. Many of us in AA puzzle over what is a spiritual awakening. I tended to look for a miracle, something dramatic or earth-shattering. And what usually happened is that a sense of well-being, a feeling of peace, transforms us into a new level of awareness. That's what happened to me. My insanity and inner turmoil disappeared, and I entered into a new dimension of hope, love, and peace. I think the degree to which I continue to experience this new dimension is in direct proportion to the sincerity and depth and devotion with which I practice the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. Have you had a spiritual awakening? Have you been transformed? Are you moving beyond that life that you used to have? Okay, the next part is carry the message. And then the big book of Alcoholics Anonymous, chapter 5, working with others, were given clear direction and instruction for working with newcomers. Now, the word sponsor doesn't appear, but that's what Bill is talking about. Yeah, I sponsor people. I have a sponsor. I'm rarely asked to sponsor newcomers. I used to think it was because I was a drug and alcohol therapist and God knew that I was dealing with newcomers 7 hours a day, or people who had not quite reached the newcomer state yet, who were still in denial and using. And so he thought that I, you know, in my recovery life, he gave me people with some time in to sponsor. But I've been retired now for some time, and I, you know, I'm still not being asked to sponsor newcomers. Most of the people I sponsor, you know, they come to me with, you know, they have 15 plus years of sobriety, and they come to me and they say that they feel they're stuck and they want to grow, and they ask me to help them, and I gladly do. I often hear from people after they've been in for a little bit that when they first got here, they were intimidated by me, and I don't understand that. I really don't, and I wish somebody to tell me what about me is intimidating, so I can fix it, so I become aware of it. You know, I try to be open, accepting, loving. I try to reach out my hand to the newcomer. And I guess I just have to trust God that he's going to bring me the people that he wants me to work with. What's the message I carry? I share my experience, strength, and hope. I don't share theories. Even though I was a drug and alcohol therapist for 26 years, that's not what I share in these rooms, and that's not what I share with people I sponsor. If I feel someone needs professional help, I direct them and help them get the help that they need. But that's not my job as a sponsor. Wendy. It is important that I be myself, that I'm open and trusting. I can't expect you to be open and trusting of me if I'm not open and trusting of you. So I need to be willing to share myself with you in order for you to share yourself with me. You know, I carry the message, not the mess. I can't fix anyone. I can't take credit for anyone who receives this precious gift of recovery. I can't give you my recovery, but I can share how I got to where I'm at today. I need to remember that newcomers are very, very sick people. You know, when they come in now, you know, they're coming out, oftentimes coming out of rehab, and they're looking good. You know, the shakes are gone. In fact, you rarely see somebody shaking in a meeting anymore. I miss that. I do. but we need to remember that we're dealing with sick people. My first sponsor, Gretchen Lutch, she passed away when I was 11 and a half years sober, but Gretchen taught me how to be a sponsor. You know, when I came in, as I said, I had this hole in my soul, and it was like I was in this deep, dark place with huge walls, and there was all this slime and garbage in this hole that I was in, and anger and rage and self-hate and all this garbage, and I couldn't get out. I had no way of getting out. You know, I wanted out. I was inside there dying, but I had no idea how to get out. And this one day I looked, and Gretchen was down in the hole with me, and I said, "What are you doing here? You don't have to be here. I have to be here." And she said, "I'm here because I've been here before. I'm here because I know the way out. And I will lead you out of this hole if you can give me your hand and walk with me." And to me, that's what a sponsor does. You go to where the person's at. You know, just because I have 35 years doesn't, you know, I need to be willing to reach out to a newcomer. I need to go where they're at. Not carry the message, but carry the message to where they're at. Anyone who doesn't sponsor, I think, is being very selfish and self-centered. They're also cheating themselves of a big, big opportunity to grow. They're cheating themselves out of a big part of their recovery. Sponsorship is not the only way to serve. You know, home groups. Hopefully you have a home group. Get active in your home group. Get there early. Set up. Make coffee. Clean up. Be a greeter. Yeah. If you have a car, be willing to give people rides. Central Committee meets the first Tuesday of every month. Every home group should have a member at Central Committee. And they have a lot of committees that do service work. They have the answering service. They have, you know, they do the Unity Brunch, the Old Timers Day, take meetings in the institutions, detoxes. Become involved in the conference committee, which meets the second Tuesday of every month. And the conference is this weekend, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday at the Ambassador. If you can, get there and attend some of it anyway. It's fantastic. Take a meeting to shut-ins. Now, be willing to speak at detox. Volunteer for the answering service. GSR. Every home group should have a GSR rep that goes to the GSR meetings, which only meet six times a year, every other month. And I also think it's important to remember that the alcoholic who is suffering may not be the newcomer. It may be the person with 35 years of recovery sitting beside you in a meeting. You know, we suffer sometimes too. And we need you to reach out to us. Practice these principles in all our affairs. What are the principles? They're the spiritual principles that we've gained throughout working the program. When I was preparing for this, I thought about the four absolutes. And again, that's something I don't hear much about anymore. And the four absolutes are absolute honesty, absolute purity of motive, absolute unselfishness, and absolute love. And those are the precepts which AA was built on. I ask myself, is it kind? Is it true? Is it loving? Is it necessary? I need to constantly check my motives. The gifts of living the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous are too numerous to list. I'd like to share a couple more readings with you from As Bill Sees It. Page 8, A New Life. Is sobriety all that we can expect of a spiritual awakening? No. Sobriety is only a bare beginning. It is only the first gift of the first awakening. If more gifts are to be received, our awakening has to go on. As it goes on, we find that bit by bit, we can disregard the old life. The one that did not work, for a new life that can and does work under any condition whatever. Regardless of worldly success or failure, regardless of pain or joy, regardless of sickness or health, even of death itself, a new life of endless possibilities can be lived if we are willing to continue our awakening through the practice of the 12 steps of Alcoholics Anonymous. And then I'd like to close with the reading from the big book, page 164. Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask Him in the morning, meditation, what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answer will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you cannot transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with Him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for all of us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to Him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will surely meet some of us as you trudge the road to a happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you until then. Thank you.
Thank you. Oh, beautiful, beautiful. Well, this is an opportunity.
Question and answer time. Okay.
I'm Jared. I'm an alcoholic. Mary Lou, I just wanted to say again how wonderful that whole series was. I really got a lot out of it, and this is my first time through the steps, and I'm just hitting step 12 now, and so your speech is all lined up, everything was perfect, and it was amazing how many weeks you said exactly the one thing that I was missing, the one little thing I need to hear. You hear that all the time, but you certainly hit it on the head, and it's been wonderful, and yeah, I'm going to keep your tapes and your handouts, and I think I'll be using them the rest of my life, so thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Hey. Do you have a question?
There's a big book meeting. It's not so much the steps, but there's a big book meeting on Wednesday.
Okay. Does anybody have any questions?
My name is Mike, and I'm an alcoholic. It may be off topic. When you're experiencing some spiritual growth, but yet people in your life, like loved ones or friends and family that you may have been blinded to as far as they may have been toxic in your life, how do you deal with that?
Number one, I pray for them. Okay. And I pray that God will heal them. I pray that God will show me anything I can do. And if I need to stay away, I stay away. But I continue to pray for them. It's hard, especially when it's family. Yeah. Thank you.
Now I can.
Oh, it's funny.
Anyway, Nadine had recommended me as you being a sponsor, and you only took me on as a temporary sponsor mm-hmm. because Jack was so sick and I didn't know. And I couldn't have had a better temporary sponsor, and now I have Barbara. Barbara, because my aunt's name is Barbara. But Deborah's now my temporary sponsor. I couldn't have asked for a better lead.
Thank you, Anne.
Oh, wow. Anyone else have something they'd like to...
About 6 minutes.
Seeing as how you're always bringing the attention to me, Wendy, she's been my sponsor for 27 years, and...
Oh, my God, yeah. It's been a trial, I'll tell you.
Hey, maybe for her... It wasn't a trial for me. I was doing my own thing. but I just want to say publicly, if somebody's, what did you say? Newcomers aren't asking you. You're intimidating. The only thing I see intimidating about you is you speak the truth. You know your higher power, and that can make some people so intimidated. And I speak that from my own experience. But because you speak the truth and you know your higher power, I can't... Ever since Saturday night, it's just like, I can't be more grateful. Just so grateful that you have been in my life all this time. And I haven't even told you how much... Because I just like guess I didn't know till after I heard all your talk in here. And... I just I'm sober 27 years because
I have.
She says she doesn't, and she She probably doesn't. She probably had to use God a whole lot with me. And I truly believe that. But she saw me through. She saw me through. She was there for me. Thank you.
Thank you. Hey, just being there is so...
The first time I met you, Mary Lou, I said that I thought you would be too nice. Yeah. If you remember that.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
She didn't know if I could sponsor it because I was too nice. I had never heard that before.
Right.
Anyone else?
Yeah, I do again. Thank you so much.
Yes. Thank you.